Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Just welcome to the Southwest and welcome to just whatever the Lord has in store for you today, whether you're here or whether you're online. Thanks for taking the time. And just one quick announcement. We have two today, but the first one is there's a men's retreat coming up, and there's flyers all over the place. There's QR codes you can scan to see information and register. It is in Ruidoso, and there's going to be some great things that go on there. We're going to have a lot of fun, some teaching, and just time to fellowship. So get signed up for that. There's limited space, super limited space, so if you want to go, now's the time. And the church is paying a great portion of that, so it's not costing you what it normally would. And so, just get signed up if you want to do that. Today, we're going to finish up our series on recovering hope and to talk about this idea of what I would say is about this idea of going home. Not eternal home, but just this home that we're going to talk about that Christ has in store for all of us, not just for later, but for now. And how we become a part of that. And so we're going to talk about that today. So just want to pray for us and for what Scripture talks about that we've been reading for the last 3 weeks, that joy and that peace in your life as you worship today. Lord God, thank you that we are here in this place. Lord, just excited about what you're going to do in our lives. Lord, it's already started this morning. In small groups and in conversations in the hallways and around coffee and donuts. Lord, maybe hopefully even in the cars as families were coming today. Lord, if you have something in particular for someone, Lord, I pray that you would just make it just known in a real way today. Lord, that joy and that peace in their life. Lord, speak to us. Speak to me. Lord, show us your glory. Lord, show us the way. Show us that way home to you. Lord, I pray that you would set aside all of the distractions in our minds, in our hearts, in the world, even in this room right now. And Lord, let us just focus on you. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. All in the name of Christ. All the people said, amen. Lord, we're mindful of who you are. Lord, we are mindful of your presence and your power. Lord, we hear about it. Sometimes we get to see it. Lord, sometimes we get to experience it. Lord, right now, as we are gathered here together, Lord, I'm asking for it in this very moment in our lives. Lord, because the holiness, the ground that is holy is anywhere that you place your feet. Lord, and as you live in us, that holy ground, if we could just ever grasp the concept, Lord, that you would put yourself inside of us, your Holy Spirit inside of us. And so wherever we stand, it really is holy ground. Lord, I think that ministry would change, our families would change, our lives would change. I think your power and your presence would be mightily known. There would be great transformations, healings, not just physical healings, but Lord, just healings in relationships. Healings in our spirit, Lord, just all over the place. So, Lord, I pray for that, for myself and for every person in this room, Lord, that it would happen here, it would happen now. That whatever's hindering us from that, doesn't matter how old you are, kids in the room, you have the power of Christ in you. Young adults, teens, middle-aged, seniors, whoever we are, married or single, young or old, we have that power. So, Lord, I pray that it would just manifest itself, Lord, it would flow in us and through us into the world around us. There are some great needs in this room today, Lord. There are illnesses from the minor, from stomach bugs, Lord, all the way to cancer. Father, to broken bones, all sorts of things. Lord, you care about them all, and so I pray that you would touch us. Lord, there's healing that needs to take place in finances right now. Lord, and I just pray that you would make a way there. Lord, some of us just need to know how to get through the day. Lord, how to be in relationship with other people, how to handle life. Lord, that's my prayer for us today, as we would look to you for the answers. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you, all in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Have an opportunity to give today, and so you'll see those giving links online as Ashley comes up to dismiss the kids. Just encourage you to give as you're called to do. I see we have buckets down here, and so you're going to have an opportunity for that as well. And I just want to pray over your finances before Ashley calls up the kids. Lord, please hear our prayer today. Lord, know where we're at in all of our bank accounts, our savings accounts, retirement accounts. Lord, just it's almost shameful as I say those, embarrassing, in fact, that we have really so much money, Lord, and we're you're just asking for a portion of it back. Lord, I just pray that we would hear that call in our lives. Lord, that we would learn to be good stewards of what you have given us, and Lord, that we would give back to you. Lord, and we just pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. That being said, talking about recovering hope, how we engage in the hope that God has for us, I just want to jump right in. You can see where you can get the sermon notes up there. Well, something's happened here. Tic-tac-toe. It was working. Now it's not. Standby. Okay. Recovering hope. So we talked about out of Romans. We've read this passage of Scripture, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, right? We talked about that word believing. And so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first week I said, do not confuse peace with tranquility. Those are two totally different things. You can have one with the other, or you can have one without the other, okay? And then secondly, don't confuse that idea of joy, right, and pleasure. You can have one with the other, or you can have one without the other. Just because you're full of God's joy doesn't mean you're going to feel it. Doesn't mean that it's going to be a pleasurable experience. Just because you have peace doesn't mean that the world is not going to swirl around you in chaos, all right? And so today I want to finish up with this idea of following up last week about trials versus temptations. Remember, those are two different. And so we can have temptations that come with a negative outcome, but trials come with a positive outcome if we focus in Christ on that. And so as you think about your outcomes in life, when you think about these trials and what have you, you can go and you can get the notes for today right there. I want to read to you John 14:1-3. Now let me preface this passage of Scripture. This is the funeral scripture, okay? Almost every funeral we ever do, this is the one people want, or this is the one we talk about, reference to in some way or another, but it's not a funeral scripture, okay? Like the 23rd Psalm, the only time you ever hear the 23rd Psalm anymore is at a funeral. That's not a funeral scripture either, okay? It talks about life, and we're not talking about physical death, and right here, we're not talking about necessarily eternity and heaven in the end, but we're talking about now. And so when you hear that, just hear the context in which Christ is talking to us. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, then believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. When you hear that, I'm just going to give you 10 seconds for you to think in your head what jumps out at you when you hear that passage of Scripture. What jumps out to me and what Christ is trying to talk to us about is what we've been talking about. May the God of hope fill you. May the God of hope give you joy and peace in believing. May he fill us with hope that abounds. That's where this comes into play right here. Because look what it says right away. He's talking about your heart. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He never said, okay, listen, he's talking directly to his disciples who know everything there is to know at this point, how they can humanly about Jesus. Okay, they've seen it, they've experienced, they've talked to him, he's taught them, he's given them examples, it's on and on and on, but he wants to talk to them about their hearts, okay? Because just right after this, he says in, I believe it was 16, he says this, one of my favorite passages of Scripture is, as they're all sitting there talking, he says, hey, cheer up. You're going to have trouble in this world, but remember, I have overcome the world. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He didn't say, don't let your life be troubled. He didn't say, I'm not going to make it where you're going to just be trial-free. I'm not going to make it where you don't have any temptations, okay? He doesn't tempt us. He doesn't necessarily give us the trials, but he also doesn't make it just where we don't have any of that. So how can our hearts not be troubled when the world is so troubled around us? How can our hearts not be troubled when we, as I said last week, face a devastating diagnosis? How can our hearts not be troubled when our marriage is hurt, or when our children are not where they're supposed to be, or when we lose our job, or when we can't make ends meet, or it goes on and on and on? How can we not do that? This is where Jesus is trying to teach us as the God of hope. That's what we need. We don't need not to have a carefree life. What we need to do is learn how to live this life without being troubled, because it goes on. And look, he says, believe. Believe. Believe, believe. He says it right here. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Well, what did he say in that passage of Scripture right before? May you be filled with the joy and peace in believing. It all ties together, especially these three particular verses. They're not tied together directly, but it's all the teachings of Christ for us, how we live our life each and every day, and we do it with the joy and hope in believing in our hearts. So how do we look past the trouble? Remember last week talking about Jesus endured the cross because of the joy set before him? The cross was not the joy. It was the outcome of the cross. It was the outcome of the suffering. It was the outcome of everything that he was going to accomplish. And here's what he is saying. In this scripture, I'm going to go back to it. He's talking about, do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, it has many rooms, and I'm going to there to prepare a place for you. Now, I want you to, it's a double-edged analogy, because when you think of home, I want you to think of utopian home. Some of us did not have good home lives. I hear that. I know that. Some of us did not have good parents. Some of us were abandoned by our parents. Some of our home lives were horrible and abusive and whatever it might be. And some of our home lives were absolutely the only analogy I know that's almost out of date completely generationally is Beaver to Cleaver lives, right? Leave it to Beaver, and everything was perfect, whatever, okay? You find the place where you have the perfect home in your mind, and that's what Jesus is trying to talk to us about. He's trying to tell us this idea of home, because home, we do equate it to a house, okay? We do, because of there's memories, there's stuff tied to it. I can remember when my parents got new dishes that were different than the dishes I grew up with, and when we sat down to dinner, I'm like, what the heck is this? These aren't our dishes. Right? This is not our table. This is different. Right? Well, Matt, we had those dishes for 30 years. I think we can get new dishes. No! I want my plate and my cup. Right? And so we have things that we tie it to. Anybody ever go home and your room got changed? Oh my gosh. Where's my Farrah Fawcett poster that was on my wall? I know, I'm old, right? See, and we're like, what? See, so I don't want you to get caught up in the place. I want you to get caught up in the idea. I want you to get it caught up in the concept. Because for home, this idea of do not let your hearts be troubled, and this idea of a place for you, Jesus is saying, I have a home for you. How many of you, just if you think about, if it's perfect and it's good and all the things, how many of you, no matter how old you are, just like going home, right? Some of us. And how many of you, if you don't have, like me, and my parents are in heaven, and I remember closing the door to my mom's house, to the house I grew up in for the last time, how many, I'm going to try not to cry, how many of you would like to be able to go home? Yeah, I mean, so there's this longing that we have that really these physical homes will never fill. But Jesus is talking about a different home. He's talking about an eternal home. He's talking about getting past what's going on now to get to that place. Because home, as Christ is talking about it, is a place of unconditional love. That place that Jesus is talking about, this may the God of hope, who is God? God is love. May the God of hope fill you with peace and joy that comes with that unconditional love, overflowing and abounding. That when I hear that word abounding, all I can think about is just rolling around in whatever it is that's so great and wonderful that God has for us. Okay, I mean, just imagine a dog laying in the yard, scratching their back. You know, boy, they are twisting and they are turning and they are doing all the things. And just that's where God says He wants you to abound in His hope and in His love, that mercy and that grace. When He talks about going home, this place that I have for you, that's what He's talking about. Because home, the idea of home, when He's talking to the disciples, is powerful. Because a disciple is someone that is sent out and away from home. And we don't know 100%, but I don't know how often they got to go back home. And He's telling them, you're going out into the world. And they didn't know it, but they were going to be persecuted. And all of them but one were going to die a horrible death for their belief, for their faith in Jesus Christ, in the way that it was being presented to them then and now. They weren't gonna have that home anymore. But yet, God was saying, no matter what happens to your home here, let's talk about your home in eternity. Let's talk about that ultimate joy. And let me just say that longing for home is the place where we are accepted, where we feel like we belong, where we feel like we have a place and that we can get plugged into. Home is that God providing a safe place when the storms are going on around us. That is home. And this idea of home is what Jesus wants it to have. But listen, he's saying not only is it, you have to think deep today. When He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, He's not saying just when you die. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you now. It's present tense. How many of you know that when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a work order is put in for your place to start being prepared for you? And it already has your name on the door. You already have an address in heaven. I don't know what that looks like or how that works. Some of you think you're going to have fantastic mansions in heaven. Some of us think that we're just getting a room in a mansion. Some of us think we're going to get a broom closet and we're just glad to be there, right? I want you to start thinking of the place that God has prepared for you. Not like I do. I want the balcony oceanfront view, right? That's my place. I just want that place, whether your home is in Abernathy or in Lubbock or in Plainview or Amarillo or Dallas or another state. When you're home, that feeling of acceptance, that feeling of safety that you have, that feeling that is so much more than I can explain right now, and the way Christ is explaining it, it's so much more than that. I don't know that I'm going to get oceanfront property in heaven. But wherever I get, it's going to be that place I know God made for me, and it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be wonderful. So stop thinking about the place and start thinking about the Spirit. Start thinking about what God has for you. Because here's where I want to connect today is it's not just for when you die. Because that's the misconception we make. It's not just for when you die, because here's the really good news about this, is we don't have to wait for home. Okay, because when we connect to Christ now, we get part of that home today. Because he says, right, in the prayer that he teaches us, that he said, here's how I want you to pray: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Everything that he has in store for us later, we can either wait to get later, or we can start getting it now. We can start the connection to heaven later when we get there, or we can have the inbreaking of heaven now in our lives. God and Christ and the Holy Spirit now in your life, that power and that presence, that hope and that joy, that peace right now. I don't know about you, but I need the hope and the joy and the peace, not when I get to heaven. I need it now. Matter of fact, one of my prayers is, Lord, I don't want to wait. I want it now. I don't want to wait until later. I want it now. I want it today. And in the midst of whatever's happening in your life, sometimes it's hard to feel it. Sometimes it's hard to grasp it. Just sitting here right now, you're like, that's kind of pie in the sky thinking. How can I get that today? How can I get that right now? Because nowhere am I seeing it. It's not at home right now. It's not at school right now. It's not in my job right now. It's not in my finances right now. As I always, you know, my greatest analogy for if you're going to rely on the world, anybody looked at your 401k lately? That's scary. And so if we do that, we go, God, where are you? You're nowhere. And Christ is saying, as the song that we sing occasionally here, it's not like he's not nowhere. Think about the words. I should have put them on the screen. He's not nowhere. He's now here. Right? Right now. We have this connection. Let me read some of those lyrics to you. And where was the darkness when hope was restored? Where was despair when my God split the shores? Where was defeat when the Lord took a breath? He stood in power by the grave that he left. Nowhere. Nowhere was that darkness, despair, defeat. Right? Nowhere. But then it turns around and says, there's a part down in the middle. It says, where you are, there is peace. Where you are, there is Lord Jesus. But then it says this. But then nowhere turns into now here. And that's where I want you to get. Not don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. It sounds like that he's leaving us, and he's going to do something for us so we can get it later. No, he says it's now. I see joy rising. I hear hope calling. I see fear hiding. I see chains falling. I see walls shaking. I hear doubt running because my God's on his way. Yes, he is coming here, now here. And then it goes on, now here is his presence, now here I stand undefeated, now here in his presence, now here undefeated, because I don't want to wait until later. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of thinking that, okay, if I can just get to tomorrow, I want it today. I don't know about you, but I want it today. And here's where we so misunderstand this passage of Scripture, where he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Okay, we think going is later. We think going is off, and then he's going to come back. It is true. It is a now and later, but it's also a here and now. Because if you study that passage of Scripture, if you look at that those words where he says, I am going, it really is present tense. It's right now. And it's not about him going back and forth to heaven. Okay, I'm going to go, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to go, and I'm going to come back and get Matt. I'm going to go, and I'm going to come back and pick up Dallas when it's time. I'm going to go, and I'm going to come back and pick up Ashley when it's time, and I'm going to go and come. No, that's not what he's talking about. In the end, yes. But right now, think about this. Dive deep with me. Take all of your misconceptions or your preconceived ideas about this teaching and listen to me. When he says, I'm going, okay, he's talking about, he's alive right now. He's talking about, I'm going to the cross to prepare a place for you. I'm going to make a way for you. I can get so emotional about this, and I don't know why. I am going to sacrifice for you so you do have a place, so you do have a home. Because right now, you don't. I have a physical home at here in Lubbock, Texas. I was about to give my address. That's the last thing I want to do to all of you is give you my address. I'm not stupid. And I have a home in Lubbock, Texas. That's not what he's talking about. He goes, you don't really have a home. That's only temporary. We can sell that dude. A fire can take it. A tornado can come through, whatever. He goes, you don't really have a home. I'm giving you a home. And when he says, I'm going, right? I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to hell so you can have a home. He never says, I'm going to heaven right then, okay? He says, there is a place, but right now, I'm going. He didn't go to heaven right then. He did all these things first. His going was to prepare a place for us, because here's what happened is we became homeless. We became homeless when Adam and Eve sinned. We became homeless when Adam and Eve lived at home with God. How easy is this, right? They lived at home with God until they couldn't anymore, and they were booted out of the house. They were booted out of the garden, and they separated themselves from God. They became homeless in the spiritual sense. They became homeless, and Jesus said, when he said, I'm going home, he's making a way for us all to go back home. That's how easy this is. That's how easy this concept of Scripture is. Pray that in your life where he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that you get part of your home now. You get to experience all that now. That power and that grace and that mercy, that forgiveness. You get to experience that acceptance. You get to experience all that right now. Because when he says, now, now may the God of hope, now. Now may the God of hope fill you. On the other side of your trials, while you're going through them, now may he fill you. Not later. Later's going to be great. What about now? He says, now may the God of hope fill you on the other side of your trials with joy and peace in your believing, that you may abound in hope. What is it where you need to set aside what's going on in your life and just experience home for a minute? How many of you, after a really long, hard day, even if it's just for a second, even if it's just for a moment, as soon as you walk in the door, it's just like, okay. Before supper, before the laundry, before the kids, before the dogs, before the cats, before all the things you have to do when you get home. But when you walk in, it's just like, oh, okay, I made it. I made it home. That's what he's talking about. That spiritual home now and later, but that spiritual home in this very moment. This week, as we were, so many of us went to the New Room Conference in Nashville, and just for, there were just moments. I mean, it was great music, and the speakers were really fantastic, and the things that we learned, heaven broke through several times during that conference. We got to hear some great prophecy, even over some of your staff members here at the church. We just got to see healings take place, wonderful things. Oh, here's a picture of it. Good job. This is us right before we left. Look at all those smiles on those faces. See, those are faces of people that got to see home. Man, I love the Holy Spirit. Thanks for the picture, whoever put that up there. That's just fun. That's just joy. That's just peace. I showed you this one last week. People got to see a little bit of home at the women's conference. See, this is where God wants us to be. We get to experience that day after day after day after day. It's not always going to be smiles. I'm not saying that. It's not always going to be mountaintop experiences. I'm not saying that either. But it is about that inbreaking of the Holy Spirit and God in our lives right now. So where do you need to be? How do you need the peace and joy of God to fill you so you can know the hope that He has for you? So I just want us to pray for a minute, close your eyes, and just think of that spot right now. You may need to let go of something. When you get home and your hands are full of groceries and whatever it is, all your stuff from the office, your backpack and your school books and your iPads and your tablets and your computers, and you got the empty Coke can in your hand, or you've got your Yeti that was full of coffee from the morning, you got all that to try to get in the house, you might need to set something down, folks, to be able to get through the door. Amen? You just might have to set something down today. Lord, I pray for us that as we look to the God of hope, Lord, right now, that we would be filled with your joy and peace in believing that our hearts will not be troubled, regardless of the trouble that goes on in our life, that our hearts would be filled, that we would abound in your hope. Lord, that we believe in God, that we would also believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, where the power and the glory reside by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. That there is a home that we can go to. Not just when we die. There's a home that we can go to right now by connecting with the Father of the house, with the Master of the house. And I know there is someone that just doesn't believe this at all. Pastor, you don't know my life. There's no way there can be any joy and peace. And this pastor's heart breaks for you because you will not give Jesus a chance. You've got to set some things down to be able to open the door. Open yourself up. Set aside your callousness. Set aside your hardness of heart. And allow the God of hope, who wants to do this, who really has no greater desire than to give you His all in all, as Scripture says, to give you that joy and that peace and the whole flood of His characteristics into your life, because He puts His Spirit inside of you. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in His hope, that you may abound in His hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not looking at you. No one else is looking at you. If you're online, you're certainly all by yourself and no one sees you. If you'll just, not even for me, if you'll just tell God right now that that is you, I know. I know that He will begin to move differently in your life. In your life will look differently. Make my prayer in the powerful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.